coming in as Lou Billendike centered it.
Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can't put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, let's get things going this hour on the program. It is Wednesday, July 2nd, and we're underway on Flames Talk. From our Groundworks downtown studio, it's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe with wireless keypad solutions so you can control access to your home wherever you are. For more information, visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com. Thanks for being along with us as we have got lots to dive into this hour on the program. And let's say hello to Aaron Vickers as well from NHL.com. And FC Hockey. Hi, buddy.
Hey, buddy. I'm excited to see where this hour takes us.
Me too. Late in the first hour, we found out the Flames and Morgan Frost have agreed to a 2-year contract extension. The RFA forward agrees to a 2-year extension at $4.375 million on the AAV. So that coming down on this Wednesday, and lots to dive into elsewhere with the Flames, just to reset on Morgan Frost. If you missed it in the first hour of the program, I think it's a really nice bet on both sides for the Flames. It gives you one of your centers at under $4.5 million and brings in a player or keeps a player in the fold for a couple more years that you're hoping to be a big part of it. If it doesn't go that way, well, then it's an easy one to just part ways at the end of this contract in the summer of 2027. He'll be an unrestricted free agent in the summer of 2027 when this contract expires. And for the player, it gives you a little stability, gives you a raise on the 2.1 you were on last year, and gives you a couple of years to try to get even more leverage and try to build your case for a bigger deal when you hit unrestricted free agency for the first time in a couple of years. So all things considered, it's one of those contracts that I think makes sense for both sides in a big way.
Yeah, it really sort of, at least from my perspective, I know you're of a similar mind, that it felt that this was going to be a 2-year deal for the reasons you mentioned. For the player, he wants a shorter term so that he can bet on himself and show that he's more than the guy that had 12 points in 32 games. And there's more to the contract than just the 32-game sample with the Flames. This is a player that had 46 points in 2022, 23, 41 last season. This year, he had a 37-point outing between his time with Calgary and the Philadelphia Flyers. But as a player, you probably feel you're more than what the production shows and what it reflects. So having a shorter-term contract allows you to get to that next deal where you feel you could probably get your numbers up and earn more money. And then from the team perspective, the Flames angle, if it doesn't work out, if he doesn't do that, if he isn't able to take those steps and accomplish those things, well, it's not necessarily a difficult contract to walk away from in 2 years or to re-sign it, maybe a lesser value or a value that's more reflective of where he is when he's 28 as opposed to the potential you might still think he has now.
Text line's open at 960-960. This from Colin says, good precedent with Frost, just 2 years. Hopefully they do just two with Zeri as well. Kind of feels like that's for very similar reasons.
Right.
Kind of feels like short term, 2-3 years. Now, Zeri not as close to unrestricted free agency as Frost is. Frost is only a year away from UFA status now, so this buys his final year of RFA eligibility and 1 year as an unrestricted free agent. So Zeri's not quite in that same situation, but outside of that, feels very similar in terms of circumstances.
Yeah.
For the Flames, you get a couple more years to find out what you have. For the player, you get a couple years to build your resume a little bit more for more leverage the next time around. So I've kind of been anticipating 2-3 years for Zeri the entire time, unless things change and Zeri's camp is willing to take a significantly lesser number to go long term, which I don't know why you would at this point. It feels like a short term on Zeri is the way to go as well.
Well, for me, this situation comparing Frost and Zeri, very similar in the sense that you've got two players that are still on the younger side of things. To me, Frost is still young, just turned 26. Zeri's 23. He'll be 24 by the time the puck drops next season. But you've got two skilled forwards that maybe feel that their game isn't reflective of the production. And Connor Zary had 27 points in 54 games. Nothing to sneeze at, but we're still talking about a 41-point pace over an 82-game schedule. I think Zary believes that he can be more than a half-point-per-game guy, just like I believe that Frost probably thinks his 37 points this season isn't reflective of the skill level that he can play at. So if you're one of these players, why would you sort of handcuff yourself and take a 4-5-6-year deal at what you're going to personally perceive as being undervalued? Yes, you get the security, but if you're a player and you're oozing with confidence and you have the skill, you can. You don't need to be a high-end scout to look at Connor Zary or look at Morgan Frost and go, okay, this is what he's good at. These are his skills, and they are above average at the NHL level. So if you're Connor Zary or Morgan Frost, for that example, why would you lock yourself into a contract where you feel you're undervalued? Take the shorter term and prove that you are that player and cash in 2 years down the road or 3 years down the road.
Over at Puckpedia, here is the breakdown on the Frost deal. It's a $4.375 million AAV year one. That includes a $500,000 signing bonus, so it's 3.875 plus 500K. Then in year two, $4.375 million in salary. He also has an 8-team no-trade clause in year two of the contract. So that is the deal on Morgan Frost that he signs. And yeah, the last big RFA now to get figured out is Connor Zary.
Just looking at this Frost thing, like, I don't see the downside from the team perspective other than he comes in and blows the doors off and is a 60 or 65 point guy, which you're not upset about if you're the Calgary Flames. Mm-hmm. And then you have to pay him more down the road. The danger for the player is, okay, he plays more to the 37-point pace over the duration of this contract, and maybe he doesn't get that bump when he does hit unrestricted free agency. But from looking at this deal, makes sense for team, makes sense for player. And again, very, you can draw the parallels over to Zary, where, again, high-skill forward, has had some injury trouble that he probably wants to leave in the past, play a full healthy season, get those numbers up, have them more reflective of the skill level that you play at. And for me, the first half of the season in talking about Zary was one of, if not the most dynamic forward on the Flames in terms of sheer, I might want to crawl to the edge of my seat because I think this kid might do something with the puck in his own zone, cut through the neutral zone, gain the offensive blue line. Again, from my perspective anyways, I'm not in on the negotiations, but it seems like a bridge for that would make sense as well.
Dylan writes, he's got an 8-team no move in or no trade in year two. I know it's super limited, but there's no reason to give on that. He's not good enough. My guess would be that helped it bring the
dollars down.
More likely the years down, probably allowed the Frost camp to be comfortable only going 2 years, because that way it gives him a little bit of control in terms of what things look like.
There's still 23 teams it could be dealt to should you choose that route.
Yeah, and I don't know what the negotiations were like. I'm not super critical on a limited no-trade clause for 1 year if it was going to be able to keep it a really team-friendly or especially term-wise team-friendly deal. This says from Nick, do you think the contract length for Frost is meant to tie into Farabee's in case they want to leave together or both decide they want to stay with the Flames? That's from Nick in Crossfield. No, I don't think so. I think, honestly, this just comes down to, if you're the Flames, I don't think that you have enough of a ballpark on what Frost is to be able to go long term, and you couldn't go the shortest term because that walks him right to free agency. You wanted to buy at least 1 year of unrestricted free agency. So I think in the end, that's why it comes down to 2 years. I don't think it would be tied to anything to do with Joel Farabee at all, even though they both came to the Flames at the same time.
No, that feels more coincidence as opposed to correlation from my perspective. It's the term that, from my perspective, makes the most sense for the team and the player. It again, the team has him for 2 years. And if he proves that he should be a member of the Calgary Flames moving forward, you have the opportunity to re-up him. I know that technically he would be an unrestricted free agent, but if next season he, again, shows up and he's the player and you feel more confident, you get the opportunity to extend him. And from a player perspective, if you aren't able to make that jump, well, you're guaranteed 2 years at 4.375.
And I mean, you probably will stay at around that level into your next contract too.
Inflation.
Just based on, yeah, inflation, cap, all that type of stuff. This says, if I were the Zary camp, the Frost contract would be the one they demand at a minimum. On a bridge deal, I don't think the Zary camp has anywhere near the same type of leverage. On a bridge deal, I think that Zary's number comes in underneath of Frost's number. Like, I would imagine the Zeri number, maybe, and this is just a guess, but, you know, if we were in, because we had kind of felt like 2 years and between 4 and 5 was what made sense for Frost. Well, it kind of feels like 2 years kind of between 3 and 4 would be somewhere in the 3.5 range would be the range for Zeri, because you're not buying a year of unrestricted free agency, even one on a bridge deal. Zeri has not had a 46 or a 41 point season
career high
in the NHL.
34, his career high in goals is 14.
So you don't have the same type of leverage as Zeri. Now, if you're going, the way you get more on an AAV if you're Zeri is you go long term, you start buying UFA years, but your leverage to go long term isn't enough to, I don't think is enough to be able to like get the type of number you'd want on a long-term deal. So again, to build your leverage, going short just feels like the easy way to go for Zeri as well.
Yeah. And when I say Zeri's only, his NHL career high is 34 points, his NHL career high in goals is 14. That's not me trying to downplay Connor Zeri, because I think those numbers aren't reflective of the type of player he can be. And had he played a full season this year, I have no doubts that he would have surpassed those figures, which came in 2023-24. But the fact of the matter remains is he only played 54 games, so he doesn't get to those new career highs. He hasn't necessarily, and this isn't a knock on him because a lot of this is out of his control, but he hasn't proven that he can stay healthy over a long period of time. So that's going to be another knock on him as well. Do I see as much, if not more, potential in Connor Zeri than I do Morgan Frost? Yeah, personally, I do. But to your point, you're not buying UFA years. You're a restricted free agent at this point, and the leverage skews towards the team a lot of times in that situation as well. So if I'm the Zeri camp, I'm trying for the shortest term that I can get to prove that I deserve more in the long run.
Jared in Okotok says, feels like Mangiapane's deal back in the day. That would have been his second deal or third. The one before the final deal was quite similar to this one with Mangiapane and the Flames, which could be, you know, somewhere in that. It would be similar type idea. Dollar figure would have been less on Mangiapane at that time. But again,
was that the two-year 4.85 you're thinking? That was right before he signed that 3 year 17.4 that had a $5.8 million cap hit.
Yeah, what was the cap hit on the one before? Would have been
2.4.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking about. Yeah, the 2 year deal for Mangiapane before he signed the 3 year deal. By the way, how?
Oh, no. No, you are not going to. No.
How dare you?
I'm not entertaining this.
How dare you?
No. Man's got to look after his family.
Can look after his family anywhere but Edmonton.
Maybe those other opportunities didn't present itself as fruitfully.
I hope Flames fans are burning bread in the streets.
No. No. And you saved the really bad puns for me. Thank you very much.
Look, that guy, people were throwing loaves of bread on the ice and you go and sign with the Oilers?
Hey, guys got to eat.
He could have eaten elsewhere. Traitor. I'm all tongue in cheek. You can maybe... probably don't need to be playing Mangiapane Shield quite the way that you are. But
hey, independent contractors stick together, pal. It's going to be weird.
It's very strange that he's going there. It's all very tongue-in-cheek. But yeah, it's going to be very strange watching that guy wear an Oilers jersey. It was strange enough seeing him in a Capitals jersey. But seeing him in an Oilers jersey is going to be very, very odd.
Well, and seeing him in person, talking to him from the other room, like I understand where you're coming from, where this is probably destination 32 out of 32. As a Flames fan, you'd want to see a guy that came up in your organization end
of
up with.
Of course he can go where I'm just like,
I
that
know, I'm not,
part,
I'm not, I'm not,
that
I'm not railing on you anymore. It just is the,
but
the,
I was
come on,
really,
man.
I was really hoping that it wouldn't be Edmonton. And there had been enough talk about him going to Edmonton. I know that they were interested in him for quite some time. There'd been enough talk there, but it's just like, not Edmonton. Come on, man. Now people are going to boo you.
Can you imagine the chirp fest between Rasmus Anderson and Andrew Mangiapane right now?
Well, I don't. I think Raz has got other things on his mind right now.
No, he's sent a text over to Mange 100%.
I honestly don't know what is going through Rasmus's mind with the way things have gone over the last little bit. This scenario has gotten quite interesting on the Anderson front. So the reporting over the last 24, 48, 72 hours of how Rasmus only has maybe not been willing to re-sign other places. And the only place that he'd been willing to sign to this point is Vegas. I don't think the reporting has done Rasmus any favors in terms of the way Flames fans are viewing him. And I'm not even suggesting, that's not a shot at LeBrun's reporting at all, because Pierre LeBrun is very good at what he does. And I'm not saying he's being inaccurate at all. Clearly, what Pierre reports and what these guys report is accurate. But it's not doing Rasmus any favors. And the reason why is because Flames fans remember how it went with Noah Hanifin. And it just so happened that Hanifin was able to kind of finesse his way into one of the spots he wanted to go. And that was the Vegas Golden Knights. And Rasmus only has six teams that he can veto a trade to, but the scenarios in the situation with Rasmus is that a lot of teams are going to want to sign an extension with him if they're going to bring him in. And so, yeah, I'm really curious to see the way this story evolves. But listen to Craig Conroy on Tuesday after free agency. Like, when you hear the way Craig is talking, it doesn't sound like a trade is imminent at all, and you can understand why. The Flames are in a tough spot with Anderson. Flames are all of a sudden in a situation where they have to make sure that they wrestle back as much leverage in this situation as they can. This was what the GM had to say about the situation. He was asked a few questions about Rasmus Anderson after free agency on Tuesday.
No, we haven't. You know, and the one thing is, I know, you know, hey, Ras, like I said before, if he comes back and plays next year, you know, I think you've just seen it with teams. It's all the speculation. Is a guy going to sign? Is he not going to sign? Brock Besser just signed. I mean, you know, you see that all the time where guys go back. You think Gavrikov moves, but you also have a guy like Provorov who stayed. So there's so many. It's a long time until we get to that point, so I'm not stressed or feel pressure about it. And we actually need Rasmus to be here and be a good player for us.
If I can just circle back on Rasmus for a minute, there's lots of reports out there that he's picked one team that he wants to go and play for. Has he given you any indication of that?
No. You know, right now he's totally fine with playing for the Calgary Flames. That was the last conversation, and he's always said that. He's a Calgary Flame. You know, when he comes back in September, he'll say the same thing to you guys. I love it here. I'm a Calgary Flame. And that's the thing. I don't want to just – it's all the speculation. And that's, hey, everybody's got a job. Everyone's got to do it. But until something's done, nothing's done. And, you know, like I said, you've seen guys that have – maybe you think weren't going to re-sign with their team, and they did re-sign with their team. It happens. It happens every day.
It's a tough spot for the GM. And I'm really curious to see how Conroy plays this one. But you just heard him use the term when Rasmus Anderson is back here in September and when he's back here at training camp. And not if. Now, I don't know. I don't know if he would have had some of the reporting not gone the way that it did. Maybe he still uses that term. But the way he was talking, it just, oh yeah, Rasmus is coming back. Now, I guess that's probably the way you should be talking. He's under contract for this year. It's just the way this story has evolved in the last 3 or 4 days puts the Flames in a tough spot. And I almost wonder if the Flames have to dig in perception-wise and for the return that they get for this player, if they have to dig in and not make a move with Vegas right now. Because you don't want to all of a sudden look like, oh, well, the player has all the power, even though he only has a six team no trade list. I think you got to dig your heels in a little bit like that. And number two, you still need to maximize the asset. What the hell does Vegas have to offer anybody right now? I don't know if the best deal you're going to get is from the Vegas Golden Knights. To hell with it. If it is indeed true, and I do think part of this, I think there's a few things at work here. I think Rasmus, right now, the only team that he'd be willing to sign with, I think, yeah, probably is Vegas, because everybody wants to play in Vegas. They just got Marner. They won a Stanley Cup a few years ago.
They have his old partner.
They've got his old partner, Noah Hanifin. They've got no state tax. It's Las Vegas, Nevada. They've got one of the greatest arenas in the league. They've got some of the greatest fans in the league. Like, it's Vegas. Everybody wants to be in Vegas. So, of course, you know, even though you don't have a lot of leverage and you might be taking lower than market value, yeah, okay, I'd sign in Vegas. I still don't think that it's, no, I won't sign in these other places, but I'm not willing to give the commitment in these other places, right? Because I think in every other case, Rasmus would like to get back playing again to up his value and get a better deal. So I don't think it's straight up that I'll only go to Vegas, but right now the only team that he'll re-sign with, the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas would obviously like him to come. They've already made overtures and have tried to see, as has been reported by Elliott, they've tried to see if they can bring him in. But if you're the Flames, I think you got to be really, really careful. And the only way to deal with this properly at this point is to dig his heels in and is to make sure that if you're going to deal him, you have to do it on your terms. And maybe you just say, screw it. He's got six teams. He submitted the six teams. We're going to trade him to one of the other teams that wants him, and he can go be a rental. They can deal with it. Maybe that is what you have to do when this is all said and done.
Well, I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, he can still be moved to 25 other teams at the snap of a finger based on his six-team no-trade clause. And I wonder if Conroy saying when as opposed to if is just a, maybe it's me reading too much into the actual terms and the actual words said. But it might be just a subtle leverage play where he's letting other GMs know. It's like, yeah, we're more than content that when he comes back.
I think it is more than a subtle. I think that's exactly what is happening.
All right, saying, so it's a little bit more direct than I'm interpreting.
And I
it
think
even.
You have to be like, well, yeah. Screw it. Hey, sorry, we're not giving in. You're a Flame. You're coming to play with us. You want to be on the Olympic team, you better play well. You want a better contract, you better play well. Like, if you got to play hardball back if you're the Flames, yeah. And I think that's exactly what we're talking about here.
Now, on the Anderson side of things, fans can be upset that it's only Vegas, and maybe he's trying to do what Noah Hanifin did in sort of negotiating the terms of his movement. But you're also asking a player who has yet to hit unrestricted free agent in his career to basically commit what's probably going to be 9 years to a destination he hasn't spent more than 48 hours in on a road trip, or has no knowledge of the organization or what they're about or what they have in the pipeline or what they're able to offer, so on and so forth. I agree in your assessment that maybe he's willing to sign in some of these other places, but he's not willing to commit on Wednesday, July 2nd, 2025, that he wants to spend the next 9 years of his life and his family's life in destination X or destination Y. I don't fault a player at all. Again, pro independent contractor over here, but I don't necessarily think that that's a decision that should be forced on him at this stage, regardless of whether or not it's a better return for the Flames or not.
Well, the one thing that I would remind you of as well, you, the collective you, not you.
You can remind me as well.
Noah Hanifin did not commit to signing in Vegas when they traded him there. It took a few weeks. And I know for a fact that Kelly McCrimmon was like, what the hell? What the hell? Like, everybody wants to sign here. Why isn't Noah want to sign? Like, it took a little bit of time for Noah Hanifin to be convinced. Now, and McCrimmon and the Golden Knights made the calculated risk or took the calculated risk of getting him into T-Mobile, getting him into that locker room, getting him in front of those crowds, like just doing things the way Vegas does things.
Recruiting on the fly.
A great way of putting it. They kind of recruited him on the fly, took a few weeks, and then Noah was like, okay, I'll sign here for 8 years. And so I think other teams, like if you're Dallas is a hell of a place to play. And I keep going back to Dallas. I think it's such a great fit for Rasmus. Numerous other teams. I mean, Carolina tried it with, Mikko Rantanen and failed. It worked with Vegas and Noah Hanifin. But I just feel like if you're a team that really needs that right side defenseman, at some point you'll be willing to bring him in as a rental. And if you're the Flames, as this text comes in from Mike says, could there be a scenario where they get just as much for a trade without the 8-year contract? I can't see a team like Vegas having much to offer. it's kind of true. Like, okay, Vegas might be the place that he wants to go. Sorry, Raz, they're not giving us the best offer. Dallas has given, and we don't want to trade you inside the division. Dallas has given us a better offer. We're going to trade you to Dallas, and you can decide if you want to sign there. Dallas is giving us a first and something else, and it might be a little bit less than as ideal, but we're going to trade you there anyway and have fun in Dallas. Like, in the end, and I think what we're seeing Craig Conroy do is, in the end, Rasmus only, or any player, only has so much power. He's got a six-team no trade. The Flames can still trade him to 24 other spots. Did I do that right? I was going to say 25. Dang it. It's 32 teams.
Yes.
26 teams, but you minus one is counting. 25 other spots. So there are 25 teams that the Flames could still trade Rasmus to.
Right.
And if one of those teams, and I think at some point between now and the trade deadline, at some point one of those teams will be willing to bring Rasmus in as a rental.
I would think so. You get silly prices in theory at the deadline.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and if Rasmus Anderson has a better season next year up until that point than he had this past one, you'd think his trade value would go up by default on that.
A few texts, 960-960. This says Flames don't want to help Vegas win. They own their first rounder. That's also a good point. Yep. Like, the Flames own Vegas's first rounder next year.
So not only are you getting a poorer return in theory, you're also dampening potentially where that draft pick is.
John says, no way Raz with 50% retained doesn't get a first and a high-end prospect. I think, especially as we move closer to the start of the season or once the season begins, I think your chances of getting that for Rasmus are even higher.
Yeah, I'm not going to dispute.
And that. I don't know, like,
I do wonder if his value is better at the trade deadline than it is on July 2nd.
Especially if you're going to go the rental route.
Yeah.
And that's why
and
I
he
say,
will be one of, if not the most coveted right shot defenseman available at the deadline.
If you're Craig Conroy and you're the Flames, wrestling back some of your own leverage from this situation. I'm not trying to sit here and say that Rasmus is doing anything wrong. Any player can go about their business however they want to do it. But if you're the Flames, you learned a little bit from Noah Hanifin. You probably
learned a little bit from Elias Lindholm too, to be honest.
I think in a bad way, though, they learned on the Noah Hanifin.
Yeah, that's
front.
The one that leaves the scars.
And leaves a sour taste in your mouth. So you do things a little bit differently this time around. And they really wanted to re-sign Noah Hanifin, and so things went the way they did. I think this time around, dig your heels in. You're the team that you still get the final decision. You still hold the hammer when it's all said and done. So by not, I don't like that. Is the right term giving in? I don't know. By not doing it now, though, or by not doing it immediately, or by not sending him to Vegas with all that's swirling right now, I think you do yourself a lot of favors as well.
It's an exercise in patience. The thing that you probably learned most from Hanifin is, you know what Rasmus Anderson's ask is now. You know where you are on that. Don't try to maybe re-engage and try to bridge that gap in season. I think definitively you probably want
to know. I think if Rasmus is here to start the season, it will be very clear he's here to be dealt.
Yeah.
And I think Raz will play like it in a good way. I think there's three things that are riding on Rasmus being a good member of the Flames if he's back here to start the season. One, he wants a better contract.
Right.
Two, he wants to be traded to a team that really wants him and that could potentially go deep in the playoffs. Three, he wants to play for Sweden at the Olympics.
Yes.
There are three things right there that I think will get you a good Rasmus Anderson for however long he might play with you next season. This says 960-960. Explain to me why Anderson can't be signed and be part of the future. He's already proven himself. I think at this point, it's just their two sides are too far apart.
Yeah.
Rasmus wants 8 years, the Flames, and a good chunk of money. The Flames aren't prepared to go 8 years and a guy who will be 30 when the contract starts. And with the way the Flames are going and the direction they're heading, Rasmus understands that. I understand that. You understand that. I get it, why they're not ready to go 8 years. And I get it why Rasmus would want to go 8 years if he's going to stay here. Like, you want to maximize. They're just, at this point, and they're too far apart when it comes to their contract.
This is the best opportunity for Anderson to cash in on what will be the most lucrative contract of his career. And then from the Flames side, it's no secret that the most depth the Flames have in their prospect pool is right shot defensemen. So you can understand why they necessarily wouldn't want to try a full 8 year term on Anderson. And now prospects are still lottery tickets. They're not guaranteed. I understand that. But you can understand from a team perspective, looking at what you have in the system and going 8 years on a defenseman that'll be 30 when that kicks in, maybe isn't the best use of assets from a cap space and a roster space perspective.
Andrew says, so why is it last year fans were wanting a Raz trade? We were told he wouldn't get as much in the season versus the offseason. Now all of a sudden it's the opposite. That's not what I was saying. I mean, for me, I felt like a Rasmus trade wasn't on the table. First of all, a Rasmus trade wasn't on the table at any point last year. The team was trying to make the playoffs last year and trying to re-sign the guy. That's why they didn't trade Rasmus before the deadline. At that point, they felt like they still were going to be able to get to a point where they could agree on an extension. And things have gone in a different direction since that point. So I don't know why. I mean, I never felt like the Flames were indecisive about Rasmus, and they were quite decisive. Maybe you don't agree with the decision, but they were never going to trade him last year.
I don't recall any sort of even rumblings in season of Rasmus Anderson being on the block, or they're shopping him, or they're accepting offers on him. I get why there might be some speculation or hesitation on why not move him in the summer. That's when his value is going to be highest. I would probably push back on that, but I can see the thought process of, okay, teams are going to miss out on free agents. Teams are going to have holes in their lineup that they want to fill. You're able to go 10% over the cap in the summer, so maybe that opens the door for more teams and you can create a bidding war. At the same time, I can see an argument that I sort of just laid out previously, where at the deadline, when he's the premier right shot defenseman, yes, he might be an expiring contract. No, there might not be an extension tied to him, but he can generate the same return or potentially better, provided he plays better as well.
Chris in Red Deer says, what if the Flames are killing it through the season, hot start and a playoff contender to the trade deadline? What then? Well, I think in that case, you have to be very, very adamant to yourself and to the player,
stay,
and even publicly,
the
that we're trading this guy regardless. Doesn't matter. And kind of similar to what they did 2 years ago, Hanifin, Tanev, Lindholm, all those guys. I mean, the Flames, when they traded Lindholm in January, they were like a point or two out of a playoff spot. Or close. They were still in the playoff race when they traded Lindholm at the All-Star break in 2024. So, yeah, I don't think it is completely out of the question. In fact, I think it would be very, very clear that if the Flames enter this season with Rasmus Anderson on the roster, there will be a pretty clear edict that he's getting dealt at some point, regardless of what's happening on the ice.
As soon as another team meets that Elias Lindholm type return, or whatever return you're set out to get Rasmus Anderson for, I have no, whether it's tomorrow, a week from now, 6 months from now, I'm of the firm belief that if Craig Conroy gets offered exactly what he's looking for, that move gets made in a heartbeat.
This says, you two and everyone said that to move or to shop him in the summer when they know for sure his ask and that he would have a higher return. All I said was, I'm kicking the can down the road until the summer, which I still would have done. That's what I'm saying. I never said it was about a value thing. Yeah, I did say that. Wait to know what his ask is. Wait to know how far apart you were, and then make your decision from there, which is what the Flames have done, which is what I was saying going back to January, February, March. Yeah, that is what I've been saying, and that's what they've done. It hasn't gone their way, but I'm not going to sit here and then say, oh, they should have traded him at the deadline. Well, that's just hindsight 2020 talking and me talking out of both sides of my mouth. All along, I said, wait.
Well, you need to know what the ask is.
Wait until the summertime. Wait to see how close or far apart you are on a contract, and then go from there, which is what they've done. So I don't know what that text is trying to gotcha us for, because that is what I said, and that's what they've done. And I'm not being critical of them because I wouldn't have traded him at the deadline either with the way things were going. This says they won't do 8 years for Rasmus, but they will pay Huberto for eight. Again, different GMs. You can't. That's kind of...
different organization.
That's a bit of a cherry pick.
Well, the organization was in different spots as well.
So and the completely different general manager.
Correct.
Yeah.
And one guy happened to be coming off a massive year.
This says, unfortunately, management needs to realize these players and them have been too far apart too many times to wait for the summer before the contract expires. They need to trade them with 2 years left and make a bidding war with the salary the way it was. And then the team gets 2 years or a year and a half of the player at that rate. This reads from Dylan. I do think the fans are overreacting to the Rasmus situation, but I also do think Conroy needs to put the hammer down and prove he'll trade a guy wherever the value is highest, prove he's the boss. And I think that is where I'm looking at it from now at this point is if you're Craig Conroy, dig in. Yeah. He wants to go to Vegas. Maybe. Well, okay, cool. We're trading you to Carolina.
Right. Again, you can only veto six other organizations. That leaves you with, based on Pat's math, 24. Just kidding. Sorry. That was a little bit of a dig. But you still control, relatively speaking, where you can trade him to. It's not as if he has a full no move.
I like this text. It says, boys, on the business side, I understand Anderson should flex as he's earned that right. As a fan, though, I'm sour on the player. What is it with this organization that they seem to give the players all the leverage? This is why I think now with the situation that has been created, if you're Craig Conroy, you have to wrestle some of the leverage back. And I think that is what he's trying to do with what we have heard from him over the last 24 hours or so.
When he's back with us, not the if, it's the when. It's the what I called subtle leverage play. You called it maybe more blatant than I was willing to give it credit for. Sometimes I get accused of reading into things too much. I just wanted to caution myself.
Steinberg and Vickers along with you on this hour of Flames Talk. We're coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Still continuing reacting to mostly the Rasmus Anderson conversation. That remains kind of the hottest topic in this market. Morgan Frost does sign a two-year extension with the Flames on this Wednesday at $4.375 million. So Jeremy in Calgary writes in at 960-960, I'm confused why everyone's mad at Conroy. Has he not proven himself as a good GM? He said he had a plan. He stuck to that plan. I don't see what the big deal is. Anderson's going to get traded, and Conroy will get the best return he can. That's how so far he's done his business. I think he's doing a great job, better than Trey Living. That comes from Jeremy in Calgary. Yeah, I personally, I've seen lots of talk about, you know, how the Flames should have handled this better and how the Flames should have traded Anderson a year ago, all that type of stuff. I don't know. And I know there have been lots of people over the last number of months going back to last season saying, oh, well, trade Anderson. But that wasn't, at no point was that what the Flames were thinking. They, with a guy that they had drafted and developed and had turned into a leader in that room, they were looking at re-signing him and wanted to see what things were going to look like when they got to free agency or eligibility to re-sign him, which is like about 24 hours old now. That's what I was saying I felt like they should do. Wait to see what the asks are. Wait to see how far apart, then go from there. So I personally am quite comfortable in how the Flames have gone about their business in that regard. And now, yes, the situation has gotten a little untenable. I don't want to say untenable. Yes, the situation has gotten a little uncomfortable and is maybe not in an ideal spot right now. And so that's why I say, here's a really good opportunity for the general manager to dig his heels in and make a trade on their terms as opposed to the player's terms. And I think if that were to be the case, Rasmus would be perfectly, well, would have to be okay with that You sign the contract. You give a six-team no-trade list. You can try to exert as much leverage as you want in the situation, but the Flames still make the ultimate decision as to where he's going. And that, I think, they really need to dig their heels in on and make sure that they use that final hammer in this situation. Yeah, and honestly, I don't know. Trading Rasmus is a team that's going to take him as a rental compared to trading him to Vegas with an 8-year extension, and Vegas has next to no assets at this point. How different is that trade going to look even?
Well, do you think this whole situation has been exacerbated by the reporting of Anderson's not willing to sign an 8-year extension to X or to Team Y or to Team Z, which is within his right, his contractual right, but also I can't imagine a situation necessarily where I personally would be like, okay, well, this is where I'm going to spend the next 8 years or 9 years without any real research, any real prep, any real conversation with that organization. And it's not to the point where I'm not going to sign there. It's I'm not going to sign there yet because I don't know enough or I haven't had those conversations, so on and so forth. Do you feel like the reaction from the fan base has been amplified by that?
Oh, absolutely.
Knowing how things shook down with Noah Hanifin.
Absolutely. And by doing that, it does make life a little bit more difficult on the Flames. And I understand why a fan would be a little upset by that. And that's why I said earlier in the hour, like the way the reporting is gone is not doing Rasmus any favors right now. And it also isn't doing the Flames any favors right in terms of their leverage. But in terms of like, you know, Rasmus went on a pretty passionate rant about how much he loved playing here, all that type of stuff at the end of the year. I can understand why a fan would be like, what the hell, man? Like, can you at the very least let us trade you for the maximum value? I can understand where a fan would be coming from at this point with the way the narrative has gone. I really can.
But to me, that max value thing is somewhat of a fallacy in the sense of, yeah, sure, if Rasmus Anderson, I'm just going to pick on, say, the Buffalo Sabres. If Rasmus Anderson, if the Flames go to Rasmus Anderson and say, Buffalo's giving us the best deal, please sign an 8-year extension to go spend the next decade in Buffalo. That's sort of the fallacy of the best deal in my perspective, because, yeah, if it's contingent on him going somewhere and signing an extension he doesn't want to go, I don't think that's true, fair market value. I wouldn't, if I'm in Rasmus Anderson's shoes, I'm not amplifying the return to go to a place that I have little or no desire to go for the next 8 years when I'm that close to hitting free agency.
I'm not saying that.
I'm not saying you specifically are saying that.
I'm not saying that he should amplify the return, but I can understand why a fan would be like, why do you got to tank the return? I can understand why a Flames fan would be like that. Like, Matthew Tkachuk didn't tank the return that the Flames could have got. He was like, hey, here are the teams I'm open to going to. Let's work with it. Let's try and make it happen. That is not how things went with Hanifin, and that doesn't seem like that's the way things are going, at least right now with Anderson.
Yeah, but I don't think that Matthew Tkachuk, in using this example, gave the Flames 10 teams he was willing to sign an 8-year extension to, which is what you shouldn't be asking Rasmus Anderson to as well. I don't think Rasmus Anderson, really, other than what's been reported to Vegas, is ready to sign anywhere for 8 years other than
I do think
Calgary
is...
and Vegas, and Calgary's not going to meet the ask. And we don't know about Vegas' situation.
I do think that is part of it. I do think that part of it is, I don't think that Rasmus is saying, first of all, he can't
right.
say, I won't go there.
He's
there
only got 25, six teams.
There are 25 teams that the Flames can trade him to, and he has no say in. I get why, like, GMX of another team is like, well, I don't know if we're ready to do a rental right now. And it's why I'm really starting to wonder with the way things have gone. And I'm not saying you have to wait into the season, but if that's the case and you have to wait into the season, you might need to find yourself a spot where it's going to be a rental and the team is willing because they feel like they really need that player to pay significantly for that rental. And we have seen rentals of Rasmus's caliber go for significant prices over the last number of years. And that's, if you're the Flames, that might be how you maximize your value under the circumstances right now.
Well, yeah, and you talk about Vegas being depleted. Trevor Connolly is probably the only quasi-blue chip prospect that they have. So trading Rasmus today with an extension to Vegas, is that actually a bigger return than if he goes?
That's what I'm wondering.
If he goes into the regular season, gets himself back to a 50-point pace where he's a plus in the plus-minus column for whatever that happens to be worth, and you find a team desperate for a right shot top four defenseman in and around that deadline, hypothetically, what return is better? It's a bit of a gamble, yeah, but I could see either alternative working more in favor for the Flames. But again, the fact that he can only veto a trade to six other teams, you've still got those 25 to work with.
Yeah. And again,
not all those 25 are going to be in the sweepstakes, mind you, but you still have a large pool to draw from.
We're working with a lot of different information as it stands right now. There's information being leaked by agents. There's information being leaked by other people. There's information insiders are getting from the team, all that type of stuff right now. And so there's a lot swirling around on the Rasmus Anderson front as it stands right now. I'm really curious to see where this goes. I don't think the way this narrative has gone has painted, not painted is the wrong word. I just don't think it's done any favors for Rasmus.
Probably not.
I would imagine that he's probably not happy with the way this narrative has gone over the last 3 or 4 days. And for the Flames, it hasn't helped in terms of their leverage. It also might just be better for all camps to like let things cool down a little bit, let things blow over a little bit, and then re-engage. I'll tell you this much. I don't know if trading Rasmus Anderson right now is going to get you the best return or is the sweet spot to do it. That'll wrap us up on the program. Thanks to Shan and Cam, our outstanding producers on this hour of Flames Talk. Aaron Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers, and that'll do it for the Sports Drive. Brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe with wireless keypad solutions so you can control access to your home wherever you are. For more information, visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.